The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Made it to the middle of the week, the first half of 22, about over. No New Year's Eve party, though. We'll talk about the one-year anniversary of NIL, which comes on July 1st, Friday, in 2 days. We welcome you to another program, and we just heard some news from the Big 12 Conference. Their long national search has ended. Of course, we all knew Brett Yormark would be the commissioner, former NASCAR executive, former executive with the Brooklyn Dodgers, with Jay-Z and Beyonce. We're still not sure how many college football games he's seen other than maybe Harvard and Yale, but we'll find out because we have a pretty special guest waiting in the wings. Brandon Marcello, writing about this very topic in his publication. All kinds of good things about NIL a year later. And Brandon, great to have you with us. And I guess the question that I have for you and is your reaction and the reaction you've heard about Brett Yormark, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, to be the new commissioner of the Big 12.
I just hope that his tenure starts off more successfully than the Tidal streaming service that he started with Jay-Z. Having said that, very experienced guy in the sports universe, obviously with the Brooklyn Nets. And what we're seeing now, ever since the Pac-12, goodness, a decade ago, hired Larry Scott. And then here recently, actually a year ago this upcoming Friday, hired George Kolavkoff. There seems to be this shift of let's think outside the box. And I think this hire by the Big 12 is one that was made more so with the input of an outside search firm, which was Turnkey in this instance. And they're looking and trying to predict what college athletics is going to look like 5 years down the road. And no one really knows, but everybody's kind of thinking, let's go with someone who deals with people, they deal with media entities, and not necessarily newspapers and publications, but streaming services, networks, trying to hammer out business deals, things that can be lucrative in that space. And so you're seeing these quote-unquote outside-the-box thinking, especially for conferences that are kind of undergoing big changes. Big 12 obviously losing Texas and OU and welcoming four new teams starting in 2023. It's a big shift there, and they've got to be a little bit more dynamic and forward-thinking than, say, a conference like the SEC or the Big Ten. So couldn't really tell you much about the guy other than what you see on his resume on paper. But, again, you're going to see more hires like this across college athletics, and not just among commissioners, but, heck, athletic directors across the country as well.
Yeah, Larry Scott was a disaster. He came from professional tennis. We don't know yet on Kolavkoff from MGM. It's certainly a normal place. But it almost makes the Greg Sankeys of the world, who matriculated at small schools in the Sun Belt and grew up over the last 20-some-odd years in the SEC, as the outliers, except for this reason. It's the best league. It's the one everyone's trying to be. And what difference does it make whether you have Jay-Z's right-hand man or not if your product is no good?
I mean, that's what it comes down to in the end. Is your product good enough to sell? And, you know, listen, we're not in the days of P.T. Barnum. You can't go out there and, you know, make some things up and sell something that's not quite there and become bigger than what even everybody expected, including yourself. You got to have a good product. People see through the noise. And I'd say that the only two conferences that are capable of doing that in college athletics, especially college football, which is the money driver, are the SEC and the Big Ten. And you see now they have more quote unquote traditional commissioners. And listen, whenever the day comes that Greg Sankey decides to step down, or, you know, the Big Ten makes a change in leadership. You know, I don't see them doing what the Pac-12 or the Big 12 have done recently and going, quote unquote, outside the box and getting someone that hasn't been involved with that conference, whether it's directly or indirectly, in some form or fashion over the last 10 years or so. Just because, as you said, unless there's just an absolute major shakeup with league membership and just the quality of play, that's going to keep those conferences on top, and there's really no reason for them to, quote-unquote, try to shake things up and do things differently when it comes to business, because in the end, the product is what drives that business and makes it so valuable.
Brandon, for all the attention and all the praise that the Sankeys of the world get, tell me a commissioner in your career that has made a significant difference.
Man, that's a great question. I think Jim Delaney, just because he was able to kind of put people in his corner, and still to this day, a lot of people will tell you that he's heavily involved in some things in the background. I mean, look at the Big Ten and what you're seeing right now. We don't talk about this a lot, but with this alliance, they haven't really done anything of substantial nature. They've come out with some initiatives, some off-the-field stuff, talking about academics and everything, but all this talk about doing, you know, these different types of invitationals and working together and scheduling among the ACC, Pac-12, and Big Ten, nothing's come to fruition, and it's looking less and less likely you're going to see anything substantial come from that, especially when it comes to football. And a lot of that is because the Big Ten is still the king and will continue to be the king among that alliance. And that's because of a guy like Jim Delaney, who made it that way in forming relationships and making it clear that he is the big dog in the country when it comes to that, to that new alliance. And the very fact of this idea that the Pac-12 wants to schedule these games with the Big Ten and kind of do, you know, flexible scheduling with them, it sounds great. It would be a great money driver for the Pac-12. It would also help the Big Ten, but in the end, call it an alliance all you want, but in the end, the Big Ten wants to remain the top dog, so why are you really going to try and help the Pac-12 try to narrow the gap with you? It's just, it's not going to happen, and even if it does happen, it will not be as big of a deal or a big of a package, so to speak, as what everybody out there was led to believe when this alliance was first formed a year ago.
Brandon, before you go, the news from the ACC yesterday, they're reshuffling the deck on their games, their conference schedule. It seems like they are right with where a lot of other leagues are looking. What's with the SEC? You were down there recently. What's going to be the next move for them?
Well, the SEC has time to think this over. I still think that the SEC will go to a nine-game schedule, just my personal belief and from talking to people, even though the league is pretty much split on whether it should be a 1-7 format with eight games or the 3-6 we've been talking about with nine games. I know there's been a lot of talk about, well, maybe the SEC should look more to the eight-game format because of the ACC, the Pac-12, and other conferences. But listen, yes, no conference lives in a vacuum. Even the SEC, as powerful as it is, but conferences do live in bubbles, and you can see outside those bubbles and look at what the other people are doing in their bubbles, but that doesn't mean you have to do exactly what they're doing. And I, for that matter, the SEC wants to have a better product. They want to be able to sell their product to these TV networks in a better form, and then also they want to put more teams into the playoff. And the playoff is not going to be a four-team playoff like it is right now, and playing more games against each other is going to help the SEC. So moving to that nine-game schedule just makes a lot of sense for a lot of reasons. And not just that, but keeping some of these yearly rivalries alive, especially Texas, Texas A&M. I mean, listen, everybody wants to see them playing every year, and the only way to do that is to go with a 3-6 rotation with a nine-game conference schedule. Makes sense for those fan bases, makes sense for the country, for rivalries, makes sense for the TV networks, makes sense business-wise. And when it comes to playoff time, I know everybody says, hey, why not play some FCS teams? Go with an eight-game conference schedule. That's going to help you in the long run in winning a national championship. Look how it's hurt the Big Ten or the ACC. Listen, that was with a two-team format and a four-team format. With a 12-team format, the SEC is not going to hurt itself by playing one additional conference game. In fact, it's probably only going to help itself because it might end up being one of the few Power Five conferences out there playing a 9-game conference schedule.
Brandon Marcello joining us from 24/7. We head to the break. We'll share other news of this day and your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Yeah, Gene Smith and Ohio State in the news. Gene Smith, of course, is the athletic director at Ohio State, and he wants the schools to be involved in NIL. It could crack down on what was that again, Gene? Inducements, really? That makes no sense. Yeah, might not be a bad idea for ADs just to be quiet about NIL. Meanwhile, Mississippi, the streets of Oxford will be rocking in a couple of hours as Swayze Field will be celebrating the national champs. And we'll have coverage of that tonight leading into it. David Hale on the ACC move. DeLucci from Oxford and a big show on tap. Don't forget, right after we go off the air here tonight, 7 Eastern, the championship celebration from Oxford. In our pre-show Twitter question of the day, what made you a fan of your favorite team? That's pretty easy to answer. And one thing about, we realize not all of you are on Twitter. Some of you are too busy doing TikTok right now. You can call us up if you prefer. We're easy. Let's check in with Randy, who is up next in Georgia. Hello, Randy.
Hello, Bob. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I wanted to ask you about Georgia's offense this year. What are you expecting from... What are you expecting from Kirby Smart with the offense and us not having as much experience on defense this year?
Well, Randy, I think when you look at the offense, you got one of the best skill position players in the country. You've got a quarterback with experience, but there's still some question marks there. Defensively, I think it starts with Jalen Carter, who I think after Will Anderson – might be the best player in the country. So you've got a lot going on defensively. You take care of yourself. Always good to hear from you. Trey in Arkansas, who you are next up.
All right. How are you doing today?
Hey there, Trey. Good afternoon.
I have two questions. Who would you take, Eric Musselman or Calipari, for any team in the SEC?
Right now, if you gave me the keys to any team in the SEC, I would take Eric Musselman. I think he is a better coach today than John Calipari. And I think he has more upside than John Calipari.
And my last question is, do you think since the Big 12 is moving in their replacements for Texas and Oklahoma in next year, do you think Texas and Oklahoma are coming in next year?
Trey, thank you for the call. I it's hard to answer that because nobody's really giving us a straight answer. A year ago, right after the announcement, I would have said they would be playing by 23. I still think there's a chance we get them in 24, which would be a year earlier. But there's just I think the most important part of that happened today with Brett Yormark taking over at the Big 12. If he is a progressive guy, which everybody says he is, he will look at the landscape and go, what good do we do? We're only getting short-term gain by OU and Texas being in the Big 12. Let's find a way to get them out of here. Whatever, let's negotiate. That's business. That's where he comes from. Let's find a way that they give us something, we get something in return, we get rid of them, and we start from scratch. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Booker is in New Jersey. Hello, Booker.
Hi, Paul. I'm back. I took a little hiatus, had a few things going on, funerals and the family tragedy. So
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Well, I called in response. You said about, why you pick your favorite teams.
Yes.
Okay. Well, my favorite one is the Ohio State Buckeyes, and that was because of Jesse Owens back in 1936. That was before I was born, but when I heard that Jesse Owens went to Ohio State, I just started playing for Ohio State. And then it was Southern Cal, and it was not because of African American, it was because of a guy named Jim Sears, John Arnett, and Frank Gifford.
Boy, that's really interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, see, Frank Gifford played for Southern Cal.
Right, I did know that.
John Arnett was All-American. Then there was a guy named Jim Sears, and that's for another reason. And then UCLA because of Jackie Robinson.
That's so interesting. I knew Jackie
Robinson
played there.
Played football.
I forgot about that.
He's a football player.
Wow.
And then because me not knowing geography as a fifth or sixth grade kid, when I saw the Rose Bowl and saw it was still daylight in California and it was dark in South Carolina, I thought it stayed light in California all the time.
Yeah, that was always deceiving because it was on New Year's Day and it was cold where you were and where I was and dark, and you looked out there and go, well, those people haven't made. It's sunny and 72 degrees.
Yeah, and I'm here in the South Carolina.
I will tell you this, Booker. I've been to a couple of games at the Rose Bowl. And
yeah, I've been there too.
While it's nice, that's not the same place I see on TV.
No, not. But you know what? I spoke. I was going to almost pastor a church in Pasadena, right around the corner from the Rose Bowl, and up in the hills, Altadena and Monrovia, back in the 70s. But
sure,
the Lord didn't put the file say so on it, so I stayed over on the East Coast and ended up in the Northeast. California was a place that I thought I was going to live, but now I'm kind of glad because it shakes too much out there. Of course, it's shaking in South Carolina, too. I noticed they had another earthquake in Elgin this morning.
I saw that.
Yeah, but that's why that was my reason for Ohio State, was because of Jesse Owens.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that, Booker. You take care of yourself. I remember as a young reporter, I visited Jesse's hometown in North Alabama. There was a big controversy going on there about naming something after him, and some racist alderman was against it, and I went up there to do the piece. Thank you very, very much. Will is in Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Will. Go right ahead.
How's it going, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I wanted to ask you about the quarterback situation going on in Auburn, whether it's Robbie Anderson, Zach Calzada, or T. T.J. Finley's going to retain the job. I was just wondering what you think about it.
Yeah, I really like T.J. personally. I've had a chance to talk to him a couple of times, but I had and he really did well last year under difficult circumstances. But I have to believe it's Zach Calzada. He's got a lot of experience. And, you know, I don't know as much about Anderson, but I think Calzada will be the one to keep your eye on early in the season.
Yeah, coming off an injury, he's got to prove himself and make something happen.
Well, I tell you one thing, though, Will. It's not a light decision that Brian Harsin has to make. I think only his future at Auburn depends on it.
Yeah, he's got to have a big year on the Plains, and one of those three guys is going to have to make it happen.
Well said. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Paul is in Missouri. You're on the air. Hello, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey there.
I have a list of the top five money makers before NIL. And number one, Eric Dickerson, SMU. I believe Texas A&M gave him a car, and he ended up going to SMU. And no telling what he got from SMU. I got Cam Newton at Auburn, having the money funneled to a church.
Now, hold on a second, Paul. We don't know that. I mean, we do know Eric Dickerson. Eric's been pretty talkative in the past about the money that he and Craig James got. But to this day, I don't believe Cam Newton's ever admitted to anything. So what's your source on $200,000 through the church in Georgia?
Well, you just said it. Also got Marcus Dupree.
Oh, okay.
Battle between Texas and Oklahoma. Also got Reggie Bush getting a house for his parents.
I think that's been shown not to be that big of a deal, but go ahead.
Well, didn't he lose the Heisman over it?
Shouldn't have, but he did.
Okay, and Barry Sanders had a no-show job at a big bank in Stillwater.
Oh, come on. Paul.
All rumors, I guess.
More than rumors.
More than rumors. I would just bring it up because a lot of them are from the Big 12, and now they've gone from conservative to liberal on their commission. It's just interesting to me. That's what brought to my mind with the old Big 12 Southwest Conference money laundering.
So I need to write a book about all these past recruiting indiscretions and how it compares to today. We'll take a short break. More of your phone calls right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, we are back here on a Wednesday afternoon and enjoying your phone calls. And how about Caesar in California? Hello, Caesar.
How are you doing, sir? Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I got two quick NFL questions for you. First one is really kind of out there, but I got a good friend of mine. I just spent the weekend in Vegas who swears Jacksonville is going to make the playoffs. And I just want your opinion on that, because I told him he had been in the sun too much in Vegas. Am I right, or is he right, or what do you think, sir?
I cannot imagine that happening after what I saw last year. But
right?
They certainly are in a much better position with yet one more number one. But I find it inconceivable without really knowing much more about. I was paying a lot of attention a year ago with Tebow and Urban down there.
Yeah.
But I think they have a good coach. Peterson's a good coach. I know him moderately well, and I think he has a good track record, but I don't think you can turn that thing around. I don't think you can get to the playoffs in 2 years.
I agree. Well, thank you.
But ultimately, you can. Yeah, I mean, that program is due 2-3 years from now. I think they would be in good shape. Hey, thank you for the call. John is up next. Hey, John.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you doing?
John, well, thank you.
I got a question for you, Paul. Is College Game Day group, you know, Reese Davis and Kirk Herbstreit and the coach,
yeah.
Are they staying together?
Yes, John. As far as I know, I don't think there are any changes on that lineup.
Well, that's good to hear. ESPN has a habit of changing up things so fast. I don't know. Are you staying on the show that comes on too? With
well, the last I heard, I was as of yesterday, I was still on that show with Tebow and. Got to remember who's on the show. Jordan Rogers and Roman Harper.
Well, that's good to hear. Well, buddy, I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the info.
You bet. Yeah, I just haven't thought about that show in a long time. I wasn't struggling to remember who was on, although that group has not really been together that long. Some of us have, Laura and Tebow and myself, but the other ones are relatively new. Let's check in with Ed, who is in Bristol, Tennessee. Hello, Brad. Ed.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well.
I was going to ask you what you thought about Tennessee's, like, depth at receiver room this upcoming year and maybe running backs as well, and what you think they can do in a second year in the Heupel offense.
Ed, thank you for the call. I'm pretty optimistic. I think Tennessee has upside because, you know, the couple of games got away from them last year. I thought the last game was stolen by the officials. And I think I felt like the Pittsburgh game was a game that they absolutely threw away. So what did they win, 7 games last year? You turn it around and without really even trying, you could get to 9, which would have been beyond belief. I'm very upbeat. I think the schedule is a little bit more manageable. I think I'll say this till I'm green in the face or whatever color I turn, but Tennessee has to beat Florida. That's a game they just cannot keep losing, and I think they will handle that game at home this year. I always look at that. You know, if they can beat Pittsburgh on the road or in Florida at home, I think they're off to a phenomenal season. Thank you very, very much. Let's check out Mary in Oxford. Hello, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon.
We are so excited to finally be national champs.
How about that? When was the last time? I almost won golf, didn't they, a couple of years ago in women's, I think, or something?
Yes, sir. Women's golf won, okay. I think, either last year or the year before.
Yeah, well, so, but in one of the other sports, it's been a while, I believe.
Yes, sir. We haven't made it to the College World Series since 2014, I believe.
Okay, so Mary, you're in Oxford, I take it. Tell us what's been going on the last couple of days.
The energy has been super high. We've all been so excited. The square's been packed. It's just a great atmosphere here.
Is the square ever not – and it's again, if you've never been to the square in Oxford, you're missing out on one of the great experiences in college life anywhere in the world. It's always got energy. I was there. I've been there quite a few times, the night before football games, obviously the night before commencement, and it is always buzzing. It's so exciting. So are you a student or do you just live there?
Yes, sir. I'm actually a senior studying sports marketing.
So oh, my goodness.
I'm just super excited to be a part of this experience.
Okay, let me sound really boring and like an adult here, Mary. But what would you like to do with that curriculum?
So I'm actually majoring in integrated marketing with a specialization in sports marketing. So eventually, I just want to move to a bigger city with a little bit more opportunity when it comes to sports. The dream is to work in professional sports, whether that's for a team or for an athlete themselves.
Wow. Well, that's a fascinating major. And are you from Mississippi or somewhere near there?
No, sir. I'm actually from Monroe, Louisiana.
Oh, my goodness. Monroe, Louisiana is in the northeast Louisiana, if my memory of the state is correct.
Yes, sir. You're correct.
Yeah. The only reason I know that is I once lived in Shreveport, so it was you just turned right on the interstate and made believe you were heading to Jackson, Mississippi, and you stop in Monroe in between.
Yes, sir. You got it.
Well, listen, you take care of yourself, Mary. You have one more year, is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, when we get to campus, come out and I can introduce you to a couple of people, not me, but maybe some other people that could give you some good advice on your career. So thank you very much for calling, and you have a great time today with the parade.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. It's great talking to you. And hottie toddy.
Hottie toddy. And hottie toddy is going to be the theme of the day. And I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, but as we get closer to the final couple of minutes of the show, we'll give you a couple of snippets of that parade. And then right here, it will be 6 local time in Oxford, 7 Eastern time. We will have live coverage of the celebration. We had Bianco on the other night, and we obviously have plenty more to say about that. Michael is in South Carolina. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Mr. Fallon. How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you for calling.
Good, man. Thank you. Hey, before I ask this question, I do have to eat some crow. I called your show, I think, a year or two ago, and I had asked you about SEC expansion, and you had mentioned Oklahoma as one of your teams, and I chuckled, and I thought, I don't know if that was possible. And then when I was out at basic training, I had heard that Texas and Oklahoma had joined the conference, so I just thought, son of a gun. He was right. But I wanted to ask you about the ACC and how they're doing. I think it's a 3-5-5.
Right.
Schedule layout, you know, do you think that that's something that would happen in the SEC, or what would you, you know, if you had a dream scenario of how you do conference scheduling, what would be your stance on it?
Yeah, I think it's under consideration. I do like the 3-game pod system, and I think we're heading toward that. If we didn't have Texas and Oklahoma, I think we'd already be there. But you know, that is creating some unknown. There are two things that are unknown right now. Texas and Oklahoma's first year in the SEC, whether it's 24 or 25. And secondly, when the college football playoff expands, more than likely 26. So those are important because it doesn't really affect the pod. It does affect whether you go to 9 games or not. So they'll figure that out very soon. Thank you for the call. Quick break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome all of you back here. And Dave Howe, top of the hour on the new ACC movement. Will others follow suit? Will is in Florence, Alabama. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are well. Thank you, Will.
Just calling. You know, when people think of Paul Feinbaum, your fans, you know, they visualize this guy on the radio, and that's all you do. And me and some of my buddies were talking, what other hobbies do you have outside of radio? Anything at all?
Boy, this is when the bubble gets burst. You know, what if I said I'm just a boring guy who really didn't do anything too crazy? Would you believe me?
I could see that. I could see that. Some of us had, you know, walking your dog and
I used to play golf. I quit that a couple of years ago, which has been good for my health, both mental and physical. I'm a big jogger. We have a dog, so the dog probably gets number one priority in our house.
When you're jogging, Paul, do you think about all the callers?
Yeah, you know, I start off alphabetical order. A-man, oh, that's I-man, I'm sorry.
That's right.
You know, when I exercise, I try to listen to any. I used to would listen to podcasts and stuff, and now I just listen to music, anything that gets my mind off of the real world. What about you?
Sure. In fact, the same. I love jogging. I love the high it gets me, and it makes me a little bit nicer around the house. So that's what I
when I sure. when I used to. I used to listen to sports radio when I would jog, and I found it to be rather disturbing. I'm going to say something here that I shouldn't say, but I don't, for somebody that does what I do, I'm not sure I can tell you the last time I listened to a sports show.
Well, you need to get away and clear your mind. Yeah. That's the whole point. You know,
you know why? It used to be when I was in Birmingham, I would listen. I would keep up with the station all day. And if you're sitting here at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, let's say, talking about something related to, and if you've already heard that for 8 hours, you almost wonder about talking about it. And I mean, I realize a lot of you are listening to sports radio. And have heard some of these topics, but it's easier for me to be clear-minded if I haven't heard it all day long.
Yeah, absolutely. What about your shoes, Paul? What shoes do you jog in?
I'm struggling right now. Somebody just sent me some of these, a couple of pair. I have been, right now, I think I'm in Brooks. I've kind of waffled between Adidas and Brooks right now.
Yeah, be careful not to advertise. Pegasus are some of my favorites. They're a little bit older, but I love them.
Yeah, I went for Hoka for a while, but I'm seasonal with shoes because I have very narrow feet. Not to get too deep into my structure here, I have a hard time. Really, I quit wearing dress shoes because I couldn't find anything narrow enough.
Happy jogging, Paul.
Thank you. I'm going to be thinking of you the next time I jog, though, Will. I'm going to replay that call and see what I could have done better. Bob is in Rolla, Missouri. Hello, Bob.
Hi. I just came inside, Paul, and I got a glass of iced tea here. I'm relaxing after doing some work. I'm painting on my deck, and I know you may have covered this before, but I happen to be a Mizzou fan. I wonder if you'd give me a kind of a broad brushstroke what you think Mizzou football looks going like this fall.
Well, I tell you what, I think it's a critical year for Mizzou to kind of start off with a big picture. You have a new, and here's why. You have a new AD. This will be the third year of Coach Drink, and I think he needs to show significant progress to allay anyone's fears. I think he's got some really, really, really talented people on that roster. He's recruited exceptionally well. I looked at the schedule the other day, and it's not the most difficult schedule in the world. Louisiana Tech, at Kansas State, Abilene Christian, and New Mexico State should win those. I mean, obviously, should win three of those four. If you could steal a win at K-State, I think. Remember last year they lost to BC. That would be significant. I think from a schedule standpoint, Vanderbilt at home, that's a plus. Kentucky at home, another plus. Arkansas at home, that's not bad. Road games at Tennessee, dangerous. Georgia, Auburn. I look for a pretty good year. Let's check in with Tommy, who is in San Antonio. Hello, Tommy.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking the call. Love your show. Just don't get to watch as much as I can. But with Texas and Oklahoma coming into the conference, and you may have already discussed this and I didn't see it, where are they going to go? Are they going to split them one east or one west, or do you have any idea yet?
I do have an idea. I think ultimately you're not going to see them placed anywhere. We're going to have a different system. So they will likely not be affected by that. And I think the real question is who will Texas and Oklahoma end up playing as regular opponents? We believe that they'll play each other. That's the most natural thing. And then probably A&M would be the next game. And after that, it would be a little hard to predict. So don't think in terms of divisions. I think that's going to be in the past, evidenced by what we're seeing in the ACC, what we're seeing already in the Big 12. And I think we'll see it everywhere pretty soon. We are heading to a break. We'll find out more about the latest in the ACC with your phone calls as well right after this.